The Guardian.
A major exhibition on the Roman Emperor Hadrian opens this week at the British Museum. 17,000 tickets have been sold in advance. For most British people, Hadrian, who ruled the Roman Empire between 117 and 138 AD, is best known for the wall he built between England and Scotland. But this exhibition, entitled Hadrian, Empire and Conflict, reveals the man behind the myth. He was a widely travelled military leader, a patron of architecture and the arts, and a lover. Among the many representations of Hadrian on display is a giant marble bust of the emperor discovered only last year in Turkey. It's the very first object visitors see as they enter the exhibition, and it's where I met the exhibition's curator, Thorsten Opper.
A year ago today, no one knew it even existed. Brand new find. We have a fantastic portrait head of Hadrian here, fragments of a right leg and a right foot in an elaborately carved sandal. Absolutely fresh, but not only big and impressive, also the best quality of carving you can get.
What would an image of Hadrian like this have been meant to convey to the subjects of the Roman Empire?
Just the power of the empire and of the emperor himself. He's an almost godlike status. The way this statue was made, with marble extremities and probably a wooden torso, is in fact a technique used mostly for cult statues. And the emperor gets the same. And he really, in the Eastern Empire, they treat him as a god. He was a great benefactor of the city, Sagalassos, in southwest Turkey, where this statue was found also. So they were really personally probably very grateful to him.
One of the themes of this exhibition is to deconstruct some of these myths about Hadrian that have developed and get closer to what he may have been really like.
The questions we ask of the past and the way we see Hadrian depends very much on our own experiences. We didn't set out here to demolish long-established myths or anything, but to give the full picture. And as it turns out, the full picture is very different from the public perception in many ways, all the way we've liked to see him for a long period. He was that peaceful intellectual philosopher ruler. Here in the exhibition we can see that there's much more to him, and not only nice things. He was a very hardened and at times extremely ruthless military man. In the showcases further down we have very touching material from Israel that has never left Israel before. There was a large Jewish rebellion late in Hadrian's reign. Took the Romans completely by surprise. Many thousands of Roman soldiers died, but ultimately the Jews were slaughtered in the hundreds of thousands. The objects in these cases are what some of these Jewish refugees took with them to their hideouts, in this case a particular cave in the Judean desert. They all perished.
Interestingly, one of the first things he did as emperor was pull the troops out of Iraq.
Quite, and I think whatever your individual political take on the current situation is, it makes it very immediate. And you realise that, in fact, you know, the Romans dealt with the same problems. In fact, it's not only Mesopotamia. The conflict zones now were the conflict zones in Hadrian's day. The Balkans, the Caucasus, Mesopotamia, the Middle East, Israel, Palestine. It's, in fact, the end of the Jewish rebellion, the Roman victory, is the beginning of the Jewish diaspora.
Well, I should say we're just right under the very apex, the very centre of the dome here, the reading room, and making our voices much louder, isn't it? And it's an interesting acoustic effect here.
Absolutely. It's our version of the Blue Grotto, if you like, here. Now, the interesting thing is the reading room here has a diameter of 42.6 metres. It looks pretty big. The Pantheon in Rome, on which it is ultimately modelled, has a diameter of 43.3 metres. And indeed, it was never surpassed. The Pantheon is still the largest unreinforced concrete dome in the world, and that just shows you what a breathtakingly innovative and spectacular building it really was.
We're looking now, Thorsten, at a scale model of Hadrian's villa near Tivoli, and it was a vast area, wasn't it? Twice the size of Pompeii.
It was absolutely vast, you're quite right. What we see here in the model is only the central bit of the villa. It's said that is about the size of Hyde Park in London, so absolutely huge. In fact, the largest villa known from the Roman world, the size of a small city. It had all these facilities, bath buildings and theatres, really fit for a small town.
Behind the model, there's a nice panoramic series of slides of the ruins of Hadrian's villa.
Yeah, I'm very pleased that we could do that. It's almost cinematic, the experience. It's a widescreen, and you see photos of the villa now. It's a spectacular site, UNESCO World Heritage. In one of the cases behind us, it's a bit of marble floor, arranged in a nice geometric pattern, and we see green, that is green porphyry from Euboea in Greece, and then we see a yellowish stone that's from Tunisia, a reddish stone that's probably from Egypt. They have the command of all these resources throughout the empire.
We're looking now at the head of Antinous. Now, Antinous was Hadrian's lover who died in mysterious circumstances in the River Nile.
People have given all sorts of reasons that it was an accident or he was murdered or committed suicide. We don't know. I mean, I think this is the Paris tunnel in 1997 all over again. Of course, you know, people are intrigued. The nature of their relationship wouldn't have been anything unusual for the Romans and wouldn't have given rise to any comment whatsoever. I mean, that simply wasn't an issue. We're looking here at a magnificent marble statue, a head. The eyes are now empty, the eye sockets, but they would have been inlaid in different material, lending a very lifelike gaze to this face, and a beautiful face it is.
Is there a particular object here that you're particularly proud that the British Museum's got the opportunity to exhibit?
One of the last things in the exhibition we see is a papyrus fragment. It doesn't look like much. It was found in the deserts of Egypt. It's half eaten by ants or bugs or whatever you have in the desert. But what it contains is really remarkable. We think it's the only extant excerpt of Hadrian's autobiography. And we're looking at it now. It's a tiny, and you can see it's very fragile, a tiny piece of papyrus. But if a little more of this had been eaten up, we wouldn't have the entire story. I mean, this is the one document with the one bit of text, and there are quite a few of those in the exhibition. I think they're very powerful. This is what history is made of.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's the Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.